Mall, so but really, wow, just what an amazing summer. It really has flown by. I mean, I think they would agree. It is just, I can't believe it's over. I can't say thank you enough, really, to Pastor and Brother Nichols and Miss Tammy and Brother Gallion. Can't be here tonight. They're with the Wilkersons, but a thank you to them, to working every day with them. And what a blessing, and how much I learned just by working daily side by side by them, watching them. And a lot of stuff I would say that I learned isn't necessarily things that you could write down on paper and necessarily teach, but just through watching and just through learning. So that was a big blessing. I want to thank all of you guys and our church family for investing in me for all these years and allowing me this opportunity to intern and to learn this summer. I promise you it was not in vain. I promise you it wasn't an pointless or an empty investment. Really, my family wouldn't be here where we are today, and I wouldn't be where I am following the Lord if it wasn't for all of you. And each of you have had a part throughout the years in investing in me and spending time with me and making fun of me a lot along the way. So I credit most of that to Brother Nichols, but amen. So good deal. It really has. I wanted to share just a couple, just two funny stories. There was a couple maybe embarrassing or intern moments, I guess we would call them, throughout the summer. And I'm just going to share two of them. I'll leave the rest. That'll stay in the church office. But one of them, we got to camp, and it was the first day. And we got there, all the kids unload their luggage and everything. And then they were out. They were out of the cabin. And Brother Nichols needed somebody to go get the van. He already knows what I'm talking about, so he's laughing. Brother Nichols needed somebody to go get the van. So I'm like, "Hey, brother, I'll go get it. I'll pull it around." And so at the camp, the cabins are kind of in the back, kind of in the woods. And so it rained earlier in the week. So I go to get the van. And long story short, I get it stuck right in the thing. It's just kind of like, I don't really know what I was thinking, but I got it stuck. And so it was literally right by the cabin. I got it stuck. I mean, it's stuck. There's our cabin. So I was like, "Man, I've got to go into that cabin and tell Brother Nichols I got the van stuck." And so I walk in there, I'm like, "So, yeah, we got the van stuck." And he's like, "Are you serious?" And so, like, we went out there, and it was all, good fun. And then just this past week, I have a habit of, I don't have power locks in my truck, so when I get out, I just flip the lock. So we ripped out some of these cabinets in the back, and I was taking it to the rubbish pit. And so I pull all the way up there. I had my phone, my keys, my wallet, all that in the truck. And I hop out of the truck, and as soon as I heard that door close, I was like, "I think I just locked the door." And I had no phone, nothing. And so luckily there was somebody who pulled up to unload their garbage. And I was like, "Hey, can I use your phone to call my mom?" I locked my keys in the pump and the car. So, but we got that all taken care of. So, and it was funny because this past week was just a really busy week and finishing up the internship and just a lot going on. So it was a busy week. And I told Preacher that day I felt like I had accomplished a lot. Like I was making good progress. And then like the Lord just really shut me down really quick. And so, but really it really has been a blessing. And I hope the message is a help tonight. It truly is something that the Lord has been speaking in my heart for several months now. And it really is just, it was a blessing to me, and the Lord has spoken to my heart, and I pray that it is a blessing. Jeremiah, it's good to have some young people here. Jeremiah said if I don't preach long enough, he'll come up here and preach for me, so y'all get ready for that. But anyway, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 5. It's going to be just a little bit of a lengthy introduction. We got three different passages of Scripture we're going to, and they won't necessarily coincide, and you may be confused on where we're going, but I believe the Lord has something good for us tonight. So Luke chapter 5 is where we'll start. After that, we'll go to John 6 and then Daniel 3. I'm going to go ahead and read just so for sake of time so we can get started. Verse number 17, chapter 5. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and of Judea and of Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and he took up that whereon he lay, and departed into his own house, glorifying God. Real quick, we're going to go over to John chapter 6, and we'll read just a couple verses there, and then Daniel, just a couple verses there. I'm going to go ahead and read it, just verses. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 now. I'll speak quick, and so just listen. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew that he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. You know, when I was studying earlier and I came across that statement, I thought maybe they were eating in our church field because there is a lot of grass there. I had that thought many times this summer. But we'll continue to read. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And just real quick, we'll jump over to Daniel 3, and just a couple verses there, and then we'll dive in. I'm going to jump around a little bit. This is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a story that we all know. And I'm going to read in verse 12. There are certain Jews whom now has set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they had brought these men before the king. I'm going to jump down to verse 17 and 18. We know that if everybody in the land did not bow down to the golden image and to the king, then they were to be tossed in the fiery furnace. And so I'm going to jump down to verse 17 and 18. If it be so, this is them talking. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And then jump over to verse 25 and 26. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And so, understand you're probably kind of scratching your head right now, like, where in the world is he going with this? Those were totally complete different stories, and they were placed at different times in the Bible. We see different individuals, different ages. These were stories that we would say, all 3 of those stories are stories that maybe we would learn in Sunday school when we were young, and that's kind of what we relate to them. But as I was studying, and I was asking the Lord to give me something, He gave me those 3, and he gave me a thought. I believe there is one key factor, one reason in each of these individuals that we read about in all those passages that allowed God to use them and to do something miraculous. In all 3 of those, we see just an amazing miracle and a way that God was able to move and do something mighty. And that reason, that similarity they shared, I believe there was a time each of them accepted and determined they had a personal responsibility to do what they can do in their life to benefit of the work of the Lord. And each and every one of us have a personal responsibility to do whatever it is that we can do to have a part in serving the Lord. And honestly, wow, just what a work that God can do with a congregation of people that has that heart. And so I want to preach on that topic tonight. Personal responsibility brings public revival. And we'll pray and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the powerful message we heard this morning, Lord, and how you've already spoken our hearts through the message this morning, through the song service, through Sunday school. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us again tonight, Lord, that, Lord, I pray that honestly you would get me out of the way. And, Lord, you would just simply use me as a tool to get your message across. Lord, I pray that you would keep distractions away. Keep the devil away, Lord. I pray that you would just move in our hearts, Lord. Move in my heart. Move in all of our hearts here, Lord. How we long to just see a revival in our church and in our country. And, Lord, again, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. I pray that I wouldn't say any words that you wouldn't want me to say. And rather, I would only say what you would have me to say. And again, Lord, I pray that you would just, again, fill me with your power. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so firstly, just we'll be real quick tonight. Brother Junior and Brother John already told me they got dinner to eat, so we'll be quick. But we're just going to jump through. I've got 3 points, and we'll go through each of the passages that we read. Number one, we have a responsibility to others, and we'll use Luke 5 for that as we think about the paralyzed men and the men taking him to Jesus. And I want to focus in on the men the Bible tells us that carried that paralyzed man to Jesus. So let's just take a minute and kind of think about and visualize what happened here. Whenever I read these stories, sometimes we can read them and be like, wow, that was cool, but we don't really dive into it. But if you really take the time to visualize it and think about it, it is just an amazing, amazing thing. And so I just imagine there's probably 4 of these men, you know, one to grab each corner of the bed. We don't necessarily know how these men, or maybe we do, I couldn't find it. If these men were personal, close friends with this paralyzed man, or maybe they had seen him several times laying on it, on his bed, on the road or on the street, whatever the case may be. They hear about Jesus coming, and these men decide, you know what? We need to get this man to Jesus. This man has no way to get to Jesus, and he clearly has a need. And so each of them grab a corner of the bed. They try to fight through the crowd. We read about there was people everywhere, people trying to get in, people trying to hear. And so we realize they grab that corner of the bed, and they're grabbing and they're running and they're trying to get him to Jesus. And they fight through all the people, and they get through. Maybe they push a couple people out of the way. And they finally get there, and they realize there's no room for them to get in. They realize there's no room. And so maybe a couple of them are like, I don't really know what we're supposed to do. And so I believe that, or I think that maybe one of them said, you know, he thinks for a second, and then, aha, I got it. Let's go, let's just walk up to the roof and lower him down through the ceiling. And I'm sure, I'm positive there was somebody in there was like, are you serious? Like, okay, whatever. And so, you know, it wasn't easy for them to do that. So they went up the steps. Clearly, their structures, their buildings were different than they are now. So they get up there, they get a rope of some sort, and they drop his bed down. And then we see that Jesus was able to not only heal his sickness, and he tells him to rise up and walk, but even more than that, we see that Jesus saved him and saved him of his sins, and that was the greatest miracle in that story. And so, but what I see from that is, you know, we know the rest of that story and all those things, but why did all this happen? Why was all this miracle able to happen? Why was this great story able to happen? And I believe it was because these men, whoever they were, took it upon themselves to take that man to Jesus. No matter the extra work and extra effort involved, they probably had an agenda they were doing that day. They probably had a busy schedule. They probably had things they had to do. And even when they picked him up, they went there and they kind of met a crossroads and they said, you know what, we're full. I don't know how we're going to get him in there. But they had determined that it was their responsibility to get this man to Jesus and to get him help. And honestly, that's something that was convicting to me when I read it. Wow, what if those men wouldn't have made that decision? And honestly, I mean, they could have, like most of us, they would have been like, man, you know, I feel bad. I wish that he could get to Jesus. But then they could have just kept walking, or they could have put him down. They could have gone to see Jesus, whatever the case may be. But at some point, they made a decision with the Lord to say, you know what? The Lord can use me in some way. And if I've seen this man and I've been put in his path, I have a personal responsibility to help this man and to get him to Jesus. And so we also read about in that passage another set of people. In verse 17, it talks about there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. The scribes and Pharisees just sat by as Jesus taught and healed. And I want to ask, how many times are we more like the scribes and Pharisees than those men that we read about? How many times as we live our life, and there are folks in our neighborhood, there's folks in our community, there's folks in our workplace. Hey, can I tell you, they're sick, they're hurting, and they need someone to help them. They need someone to be an encouragement to them. Most important, they need someone to bring Christ to them. They need someone to encourage them to come to Christ, maybe to come to church, whatever that may be, to give them an invitation, to give them a track, to give them the ride, to take them out to lunch, whatever that case may be. But instead, we go week after week, month after month. We come to church on Sunday. We come in. We sit in our pew. We say hello to our few friends that we have at church. And then we go home, and we've gotten our Bible for the day, or our Bible for the week, and we don't personally have any hand in anybody coming to Christ, any service being done in the church or for the ministry, whatever that may be. And sometimes, sadly, I feel like there's many of us who kind of fall in more to that category. And I think we can all grow on that. And that's something to really think about. And as I read that, as we hear messages like this, sometimes we kind of tend to push it off like, you know, that's good, but that's not me. You know, he's not talking about me. And we can all be guilty of it. I'm raising my hand. But I want us to take a minute and to really think about that. Which one are we closer to? You know, those men, are we closer to those men who decided it was their responsibility to bring that man to Christ? Or are we like the Pharisees that did nothing? And how many is there in our churches where the gospel is preached and we're working and we're serving and there's several ministries going around, but we always just kind of simply sit by and it's the same group of people that get involved? I have written in my Bible above that the Lord always uses people. And that's how he doesn't have to. But the Lord has decided that he's going to use us as Christians to get his work done on earth. And so the Lord can do a mighty work, and we can see God send, honestly, a widespread of revival in our church and churches across the nation and our country. Again, we all complain and talk about where our country is today, and I agree, it's in bad shape. But he uses us to make that difference. And when we simply act like the scribes and the Pharisees and we decide to just come to church and sit by, and then even like they did, maybe criticize whenever somebody else brings somebody to church and say, you know what, why are you bringing them, you know, nobody can forgive us, or whatever the case may be. I want us to leave here tonight and honestly wonder, as this next week comes up, you know, what are we more like? Are we like those scribes and Pharisees? Or are we like those men? And can I just plug in here real quick? I don't have that written down, but we don't know those men's names. The Bible doesn't talk about their names, and it doesn't give them the glory, but it just says men. And so just want to plug that in there real quick. Those things that we do, we're not doing that for other people's applause. We're not doing that for other people's praise so we can come up on the platform and we can get recognized. We're going to get recognized in heaven one day, and the Lord will thank you for that, and he'll give you a crown in heaven for that. And so that's what we're working for. We're not working to be praised, and we're not working for. And sadly, a lot of times, if we don't get praised, that's part of the reason why we come and we sit in our pew, and you know what, the same people do it and they get praised, so you know what, I'm just going to sit here. And honestly, you're just, I don't mean this in any kind of way, but you're robbing yourself of a blessing. You really are. I can't tell you the blessing it is, and I think everybody in this room would agree with that, that there is never a better blessing on earth and another better feeling that you can get when you are personally involved in bringing somebody to Christ, bringing kids to Christ. And I'm not saying you're the one who personally handed out that tract and went through the Bible, but if you're one, maybe you invited him to church from your work. Maybe you invested some time and money in getting bus promotions ready. Maybe whatever that is, whatever, from the smallest to the biggest, the Lord just wants us to get involved. He wants us to understand that we have, and once we understand that we have a personal responsibility to make a difference in people's life, a personal responsibility in others, it's going to be hard to sit by. Because once we do, the Lord will work on our hearts and he'll say, you know what? We'll sit there and we're like, man, you know, it feels nice to sit down, but who else is going to be doing that? You know, that's our responsibility. And so we have a personal responsibility to care for others, to invest in others, to invest in their lives. And y'all have invested in many of the young people here. And many of us are going off to college now, and it's a new group coming in, a whole new group. And we've talked about that. You've got a new group of little Hannahs and little Neptunes running around. So, but it seems like they're a little bit more well-behaved than we were. So hopefully they'll get out of that. No, I'm just kidding. But again, we've seen the results of that, and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for y'all. And so there's a reason for what we're doing here, and I want to encourage you to keep at it and to continue to invest. We have a responsibility to share the gospel, to be an encouragement to people so that they may see Jesus in us, just as Paul was with Timothy and Barnabas with Paul and John Mark. And I promise you, like I said earlier, you'll never look back and regret it. You'll never look back at the time that, you'll never look back and say, man, I wasted time spending time with that young person, or I wasted time handing out tracts, or even I wasted time vacuuming the aisle, whatever that is for you. Everybody is able to do different things. You're never going to look back and regret that, because there's much more fulfillment in life doing things for the Lord instead of benefiting ourselves. And again, I'm speaking to myself here. You know, sometimes we can get tied into the routines of life, and I get all that. But can I tell you, we have a personal responsibility. We don't have a personal responsibility for our own agendas. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but it does tell us that we have, as Christians, that is our goal, and that should be our priority in life, to see others come to Christ, to invest in people, to disciple people. And so I pray that we would leave here tonight, and these next few weeks, and these next few months, whatever, that I would come, maybe that we would come back from school, and as we're continuing to build this building, you know, I believe the Lord's wanting to do something great. And I think in order for that to happen, you know, honestly, I don't mean this in any kind of way as well. I know I said that earlier, but we all want the new building, and I want it too. But if we don't have the people to put in it, then what's the point? And so unless we're steady, and I've just learned this over the years of working on the bus, unless you're constantly growing, you're just going to shrink. Because, you know, people move, whatever the case may be. So we need to be constantly working to invest in others, to get others to church. So I pray that we would really take that with us, and we would let God put that in our hearts and allow God to speak with us with that. We'll be quick. I know I'm running out of time. Secondly, we had a responsibility for others. Secondly, we have a responsibility to give. And the book of John, and we think about that young lad and the fishes. And again, a story that we all know in here, I would say that we all know, a story that we learned in Sunday school. But honestly, when I think about it, I can't even wrap my head around how that happened. And I would dare to say, let's put ourselves in that position. And I know, you know, he's just giving a lunch, but I just want us to put ourselves in that situation. Again, these folks have walked for miles. It's been a long day. Everyone is exhausted. We don't know how long they were outside, and it was an exciting time, but they were exhausted. And if they were anything like us as Baptists, I'm sure there was plenty of people complaining that there was no food to eat, and they were mad. So if they were anything like us, we know that that was going on. And again, you're tired just as everyone else. And just honestly really think, this is a very simple illustration, but I want you to honestly think, would you have given your lunch away? And honestly, I mean, if we could reason with ourselves and say, we wouldn't be out of place for not giving our lunch away. You brought that lunch. They should have brought their own lunch. You're just as tired as they are. You're hungry, you know, whatever that is. But that little boy had that heart that he just wanted to give it to Jesus. He didn't have much, but you know what? He figured, I can be a help in some way. And so I see him, maybe opens that lunch that his mom gave him, and he really wants that lunch, and maybe he just takes a little nibble of that fish and puts it in his mouth, and he's like, oh, and maybe the Lord is starting to convict him. He's like, Lord, I really want to eat this. And maybe he hasn't eaten all day, and so maybe he goes up to Andrew, and maybe he tugs on his shirt as a little guy, and you know, he tells him, sir, it's not a lot, but, and I don't know if he sounded like that, but I'm preaching, so that's what he sounded like. And so maybe we went up to him and said, sir, you know, it's not a lot, but just a couple pieces of bread and just a couple fishes, but I don't want it. You can have it, and you can give it to all those people. And so, but we see that Andrew was kind of hesitant on it, and maybe he was like, okay, kid, get out of here. And so maybe the kid was kind of like, you know what, I did what I was supposed to do. And we see that he goes to Jesus and says, you know, what is this among so many? But just that little, just that heart that boy had, and he gave what he had, and it wasn't much. And we see one of the greatest miracles throughout the whole Bible as he continued to pull food out of that for over 5,000 people, and he continued to do that. And so let's put that in our day right now. You know, you may not have much, but you can give something. And just as that boy had a heart to give, we can give. And we are to be givers. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And in that scripture, I don't think Paul is so much just interested in the money, and neither is God, but God said he loves a cheerful giver. And it says right there, as he purposed in his heart. And so that we would make that decision in our heart that, you know what, whatever the Lord gives me, And again, that was a silly illustration with the lunch, and you're probably not going to be in that position where you got to give your lunch to somebody, so everybody relax. But do we have the heart to give whatever it may be to others, to give it to the Lord, to give to the ministry, so that we can have a part in the service of the Lord being done, and that we would have an opportunity to see God do something great? We're running out of time, so I'll be quick as we continue, but we have a responsibility to give our time. Again, all those folks that went out and that boy, it's not that he just, a lot of times he gave him his lunch, but let's just think that boy and those folks, they spent their day following Jesus. And they spent their day going to see what he can do. And, you know, a lot of times we want to see the Lord do something great. We want to see him send revival, but we don't really want to give our time. You know, we come to church on Sunday morning, and so maybe, say the Lord, maybe if he passed by their house or whatever, maybe they would have stepped out and gone, you know, 10 minutes and seen him. But I believe, and this is just me, I believe that they made a day out of all that. And they walked with Jesus, and all those people gathered around, and they watched him, and they ate, and they fellowshiped, and all that. But all those people, they gave their time. And that boy didn't just give his lunch, but he gave his time. And so are we willing to give, set aside our time that we maybe have in our week, and, you know, we want to do this, and we want to do that, and we've got this schedule. And I understand we've got busy schedules, and I get all that. We all have stuff. We have families. I get all of that. But I just want to ask, what is your heart? Are we willing to give up any of that time to be a blessing to somebody, to be a help? Listen, to serve, whatever that is, to come up here whenever we've got things that need to be done. One of my highlights of this year was, so whenever we were doing those things in the nursery, we replaced the carpet, and I'm quick, we're running out of time. We were putting down that baseboard in there, and it was me, Preacher, and Brother Nichols, and he was already laughing, got in there, and they asked, I just wanted to help. So I went down there, and they were like, have you ever, I was like, here, y'all want me to grab a caulk gun and get in there? They're like, yeah, that's fine. And Brother Nichols was like, have you ever done it before? I'm like, yeah, I've done it. And so I get down, and I just ended up cutting that hole way too big. So, like, I was just, like, pouring caulk out of that thing, just smoothing along. But anyway, again, there's things like that being done all the time. There's work around the church that needs to be done. I'm leaving soon, so I can't cut the grass anymore, praise God. So you know what? We're going to need some folks to help cut the grass. And honestly, we've got some young people raising their hand over there, and I've picked them up, our bus teenagers, and I've picked up them up a couple times to come and help me cut the grass. And I know we all have schedules, but maybe we have a heart that, you know what, this is going to take some time out of our day, but you know what, I want to help serve. I want to have a personal hand and the work of the Lord being done. And I think that the Lord, he takes that heart, and so it's nothing that we do to see revival and to see folks come and to see the Lord work. It's nothing that we can do to make somebody feel that way. But I believe that the Lord sees the people's hearts, and he sees the desire to serve and to see the Lord do something great. And he takes that, and that's when he says, you know what, they're ready. They're ready for me to do something great. They're ready for me to send, a group of people, some visitors to their church for them to grow. But he wants us to see that we have a heart, because he's not going to send people here and while we continue to just sit aside, and because the church will never grow. His work's not being done. And so he's looking that we would have a heart to give. And again, we're hurrying. So we have a responsibility to give of our time. Also, we have a responsibility to give of our possessions, of our money. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. We have a responsibility to give materially. That was what it was. Again, I'm not just talking about money, as we should tithe and we should give to the offering, and I think we would all agree on that. But I just want to, concerning money and concerning all that, again, as I said earlier, do you have the heart to give? Do you have the heart to help with the needs around you? Whatever that is, there are honestly countless possibilities, from money to anything, to possessions, to buying dinner, whatever that is, the needs around the church, from the smallest to the biggest. Honestly, it all falls on the heart. You know, if you're a giver, you give whatever that is, because that's in your heart. And I pray that I would have a heart to give. And I think we can all help ourselves in that area sometimes, and we can always give more. And everything the Lord gives us, he gives us that we can use it for him. And so let us not forget that, and let us not forget what our purpose here on Our purpose is not to build our kingdom here on earth. That is not what our purpose is here. Our kingdom is being built up in heaven, or it already has. And so our purpose is to give our time and give our money and to give our effort that the Lord has given us to devote to Him. And so, again, just to plug in real quick, and we owe it to Him. We deserve nothing. He saved, I believe you're saved in here. He saved us, and I'm just as bad as every sinner we read about in the Bible and every sinner that we know that we see in our day and age today. And I'm no better than any of them. And so that the Lord was able to save me, and He loved me enough to do that for me, we just need to get in our heart that we have no choice but to give our time and to give our time and our money and our whatever that is, give our life, honestly. Just put it all in there and just give our life to God. And whatever that is, you know what, Lord, I just want to have the heart to give it to You. Whatever I can do, whatever I can get plugged in, I want to do it. You know, what a blessing it would be on a Saturday, maybe our next work day, or on a Thursday night soul winning, or when we go to give out packets, or when things need to be done around the church. What a blessing that would be to see more than half the church show up. Well, we have too many people we know what to do with. You know, what a blessing that would be. And when you see things like that, when you see a heart like that, that's when the Lord is able to do something mighty and some revival. And I'm just going to be frank with you. I desire to see the Lord do something great in this church. And we had a great crowd this morning. And we have a great crowd tonight. But I tell you what, I truly want to see. I think we're on the verge of the Lord just doing something mighty in our church. And I want to see that as I've grown up in here, and then as I've interned, I'm getting ready to go back to school. I love this church, and I love these people, and I love this city that we're in. And I truly want to see that the Lord do something mighty in our church, and to see us grow, and to see us reach more people. But in order to do that, and I believe we all want to do that. If I asked for a raise of hands, I believe every hand would go up. But you know what? That's on us. It's never going to get done if we say, you know what? That's that person's job. Those five people would take care of it. Those people would take care of it. But the Lord, and you know what? Fact of the matter is, those people will take care of it. But you're robbing yourself of a blessing to give your time and to give your life to Christ. And so we'll move on. And number three, real quick, we have a responsibility for right. And we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we know the story there and how the king told everybody, you know, they need to bow down to him and to the golden image, or they would be tossed in a fiery furnace. And they had we see a story of tremendous courage, of tremendous character, of tremendous love for the Lord, and that was the consequence. We see some tremendous consequences if you didn't do that, but they stood for the Lord. I'm not speaking anything new right now when I know that, when I say that our country is in a state right now where sin and the devil is just raging. Just this past week, just the past couple of days, we had two mass shootings. Just a few days ago, we had that shooting here at Walmart. Every week, more and more of the LGBTQ movement is just thrown on us and pushed on us. Churches across the nation are dropping standards. More folks just living in open sin. Abortion just being promoted and praised. And I could go on and we could talk for hours about that. And can I tell you, we can all sit around and we can complain and we can talk about it and we can blame it all on the millennials and all that stuff. And whatever, we can sit around for hours and we can talk about, man, there's no hope, and boy, how we need God to send a revival. And you know what? God can. And we as Christians, He's looking to us to stand for right. God needs us. God gave us this country, and He did those things in our country. And you know what? We need some Christians around this country who will not look to someone else to stand for right, will not look for someone in Washington to stand for right, will not look to the mayor in South Haven to stand for right, but we need somebody in their home, in their workplace, in their church, in their country, that they will stand for right. And it starts in the small ways in your home, like I said, in your home, in your church, and again, the stuff we watch, the stuff we pay for, the stuff we promote, we come to church and then we just go live our life, whatever makes us feel good, and then we want to complain about the state we're in. And I believe that God can do a great thing and He can turn this country around, and I've seen He is doing a work. Brother Paul travels the country and the Lord is doing a work in places. And so this country is not spiritually dead. This country has not given up all its hope. The Lord is doing some mighty things. And I go to school, and there's many Bible colleges around, and I go to school with a lot of people that just have a desire to see the Lord do something good. And there is many, many, many young people, many millennials, whatever you want to call them, that just have a desire to to see God do something great. And can I ask you that we would all just band together, that we would make a decision that we're going to stand for right, and we're going to do right, and we're going to keep the standard high. And you know what? I'll just plug this in. We're gonna vote right, and we're not gonna just put it aside and be like, you know what? What's the point? There is a point. And especially if you're a Christian and God gave us this nation, just like, and I'll just be honest, the consequences are not what they were for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not even close. Now, you may first persecution, especially in the day and age that we are right now, again, with the sin pressing, you may first face persecution for what you believe and what you stand for right, but I tell you what, God will bless that, and he just need in the little things. If God sees us stand for right for the little things, if he sees us, we need some men, we need some fathers, we need some women, we need some women, we need some wives, we need some children in their homes. We need those to stand for right in their home, and that's where our problem lies. And if we do that, I believe the Lord will do something great in this country. If we can just get in our minds, get in our hearts, you know what? Just like they did, God said, we have a responsibility to do right. We have a responsibility, and again, we could go into specifics and details all night, and my time is gone, and we're not going to do that. You know what that is in your life, whatever that may be. But just understand or get it in your heart that, you know what? We have a responsibility to do what's right and to stand for right. And as Christians, again, it's not as a group. It's not as the church. But we individually have a responsibility to stand for and to do right so that we may see a mighty moving of God in our personal hearts, and then to see God do a moving in hearts across the nation, across our country. And we're done. But let me ask you, through all those passages that we read, we see that just by a handful of individuals and a story and the boy with the loaves and fishes, we see just one. And the story with the paralyzed man, we see, I'm thinking, four men. We see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three, just a handful. And just with those few people making the personal decision, listen, just with those people making a personal decision and doing what they should do, with that, in each of those stories, we see that God performed something miraculous. And God sent he performed a miracle, and he did a mighty work just because just those handful of people decided personally, you know what, I have a responsibility to invest in others and to get folks to Jesus. I have a responsibility to give what I have. I have a responsibility to give, and then I have a responsibility to do right. And again, when we just individually make that personal decision, God can do something great. My time is up. So let me ask you, are you just kind of coasting along week to week, month to month, not really getting involved, not investing in others? Have you made a decision? Lord, I want to have a heart to give, to personally give of my time, to give of my work, to give of my money, to help further the cause of Christ. And again, at a time in our country today, in our homes across this nation, again, like I said, we need some folks that will just stand for right and do right, and they'll love God, and they'll live for God, and they'll lead their family for God, because they want to please the Lord. Can I ask you, let's just make it personal tonight. I'd love to see that we would come to the altar, we would pray at our seats, and that we would just make a personal decision, me included, everybody in here, that we would just make it personal tonight. Again, that we saw, as we read, not to reiterate again, but again, I want to see the Lord do a revival in our hearts, in my heart, in every. I love all of, each and every single one of you, and y'all have personally invested in my life and made an everlasting, eternal difference in my life. And so, I truly love this church. I love these people, and I want to see the Lord do something mighty and do something great. So let me ask you: a lot of times, whenever we think about revival, we think that it's just this random mystical swooping of God across our hearts. And revival is a mighty moving of God, and it's a spiritual thing that he puts in our hearts. But I believe that it's not this hidden mystery. I don't believe that. I believe, like we said earlier, personal decisions and personally getting right with the Lord and getting our hearts right personally. Not thousands, but just personally a couple of us, or all of us, getting right with God. And once we do that, God is able to use us, and he's able to have a group. Imagine if across this nation, in our county, in DeSoto County, if we had 100 folks, 150 folks, 200 folks, personally make a decision, you know what? God's put me in this county. God's put me here for a reason, and I have a responsibility to live for Christ and to share the gospel with others and to see a work done in the church and to see people saved and to see people grow and follow the Lord. And I think if we would get a hold of that, that the Lord would do something mighty, mighty good in our churches and in our county. And so, I say it again. Will you make that decision tonight? Just make it personal. Just make it personal. Let's close our eyes and we'll pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for that that message you've given me. Lord, I don't know if it was a help to anybody, but it sure was a help to me. And Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, that you would make that personal in our hearts, that we would, Lord, I don't know what that is. Each of us have something different in our life, and we have different areas that we can grow in. And Lord, I pray that you would just put that on our hearts, Lord, that you would move in our hearts, and Lord, that we would see you move mightily and send a great revival in the hearts of our people and our church. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.